Turn in your Bibles to the letter of Jude. And last week we started a series on the book of Jude. Jude was written to a church to warn them that they are under attack. They had been infiltrated by false teachers who sound impressive, but who are actually false. Jude tells them that these teachers are ungodly, who teach the grace of God is a license for sin, and so they deny that Christ is Lord. And Jude challenges the believers to contend earnestly for the gospel, and Jude continues to help the church identify how these men are illegitimate by examples from their own church history, and so why they need to resist them. So we're going to read the whole of this letter. But today we'll be focusing on verses 5 to 10. So let's read the whole of this letter of Jude. This is God's word. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago these were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they were told that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. May God bless us the reading of his word. Now, over the fall break, Pam, Karen, and Annabelle took the family, to the exotic feline rescue center. And this center has a large number of big cats, mainly tigers, but there are some lions, some leopards, and bobcats. And it was often a similar story as to how these cats got to the feline center. People thought it was a good idea to have a big cat as a pet. Now, when they get these cats, they get them when they're cubs, when they're kittens. At that age, they're cute, they're easy to control, their appetites are small. But these cats grow, and few people have the space that's necessary to keep these big cats. These cats get bigger, they get stronger, they get more dangerous. Their appetites grow. It's very expensive to feed one of these animals. And yet it's not rocket science. These owners should have known better. Cubs grow into adult cats and so are sent to the exotic feline center. Well, Jude is warning his readers in this letter, false teachers who have come into the church, who have perverted the gospel message. And he tells them that they should have known better by giving them a number of reminders from history in the Old Testament. And this is also relevant to us. So let's consider how you should know God's word better, so not to reject God and so face judgment, but instead remember God's mercy and walk in God's way. So firstly, you are to remember God's word, and you should have your bulletin there. You can follow along. There's an outline. Jude reminds his readers by examples from God's word, examples that they should have known. Notice verse 5, I want to remind you, though you once knew this. And this is a challenge for you too. God has given you his word. And in the high school Sunday school class, we've started a class on the shorter catechism. And today we look at question number 2. What rule hath God given to direct us? How we may glorify and enjoy him. And in class, I test them to see how well they know the answer. Now, you guys, you don't need to worry. I won't test you on the spot. I will give you the answer. The answer is the Word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, is the only rule to direct us, how we may glorify and enjoy him. Paul tells us in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. You have God's word. And so as you contend for the gospel, as you contend for the faith, as Jude commands you, you must know God's word. Jude's audience would have only had the Old Testament written down. They would have had various letters from the apostles. We have the complete Word of God found in the Old and New Testaments as our rule for faith and life. Often we hear people say, well, God's Word was written in a different era. It's outdated. It's for a primitive people. But God never changes. His Word is always relevant. His standards of holiness still remain. It spoke to Jude's audience, and it speaks to us today. Hyde, in his commentary, says, why do we need to know the Word of God so well, including the Old Testament? Well, we need to know our Old Testaments because there is nothing new under the sun. The same errors in the past are around today. And trying to remove these errors from the church without the Word would be like me trying to empty the Pacific Ocean with a shell. Well, in today's passage, Jude gives us examples from the Old Testament of those who rejected God's word. And so they face judgment. They face punishment as a result. And not only does Jude give us examples, he also applies these examples to the false teachers. You see that in verse 8. Likewise, these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. And so he calls these false teachers dreamers. Dreamers because they claim to be spiritual leaders, to have received a word from the Lord. But it's not true. They might as well have dreamt it up. So let's look at this description of the false teachers in verse 8 and how the Old Testament warns us that they are ripe for judgment as a result. So notice secondly, you're not to deny the Lord by unbelief. Verse 5 and verse 8. So Jude's first example is the people of Israel. And he begins with the people of Israel because he wants to grab their attention. This was not a pagan group, but the very people who God used to found the nation of Israel. Jude describes how they were rescued from Egypt by the Lord Jesus Christ. But then the Lord destroyed those who would not believe. Now, there are many instances of the Israelites not believing in God. Surely the most obvious example is in Numbers 13 and 14. Here the Israelites, they went to the promised land and they sent in 12 spies. And these spies, they came back with a favorable report that the land it flows with milk and honey. They even brought back produce from the land. But then they said the people are strong. The cities are heavily fortified. There is no way that we could go up against the people, for they are stronger than us. And so the people of Israel grumbled. They complained to Moses. They wanted to die. They suggested, let us return back to Egypt. Joshua and Caleb, who are also part of the team of 12 spies, they brought back a different report. And you'll see it in your outline. Numbers 14, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are only bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. How did the people respond? Well, they did not believe Joshua and Caleb. Instead, they were ready to stone them. And so this incident, it reveals their hearts. They did not believe in God. They were ready to do this evil thing. And God's response was to destroy the people of God. But Moses, he intercedes for the Israelites. And so God relented. And instead, he would not allow any of the Israelite men, 20 years or older, to enter the promised land. They would die in the wilderness. And so for the next 40 years, they would wander in the wilderness. Their unbelief in God brought upon themselves God's judgment, despite Joshua and Caleb's encouragement to believe. And it's a challenge, for although they were rescued from Egypt, they were still not in the promised land. They denied that God could bring them into the promised land, even though they had seen great wonders of God. They had seen the 10 plagues. They had seen how the Egyptians asked them to leave and gave them their gold. They saw the Red Sea divide. Their hearts were far from God. And these false teachers were just like these Israelites. These false teachers speak of being rescued by God. They can describe wonderful experiences. But Jude has already said in verse 4 how they denied the Lord. And this denial revealed their hearts. They were not true believers. And Jesus speaks of this in Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so Judah's warning his readers that although these false teachers appear to be God's people, they are just like the Israelites. They were close to the promised land, and yet they were condemned by God because of their unbelief. It's a challenge for us today. There are many who believe they are saved, who go to church every week. Some are even church members. They're committed to supporting the church. They enjoy the blessings of the church, the experience of the church. But that does not guarantee salvation. For like the Israelites in the wilderness, it's temporary. They deny that God can actually bring them to heaven. John Bunyan, in his book, The Pilgrim's Progress, describes the end of a man named Ignorance, who was at the gates of heaven. When Ignorance came up to the gate, he began to knock, supposing that the entrance would simply be quickly opened to him. But he was asked by the man at the top of the gate, "Whence came you, and what would you have?" And he answered, "I have eat and drank in the presence of the king." And then they asked him for his certificate, that they might go in and show it to the king. But he had no certificate. And so they told the king, but the king would not come down to see him, but commanded the two shining ones, that conductor Christian and Hopeful to the city, to go out and take Ignorance and bind him hand and foot and have him away. And then they took him up and carried him through the air to the door that I saw in the side of the hill. Then I saw that there was a way to hell, even from the gates of heaven. In a similar way, you may be close to heaven, but if you deny the Lord by your unbelief, you will not enter into that rest. Well, thirdly, let's consider, you're not to deny the Lord by taking vengeance, verses 8 to 10. Verses 8 to 10 help us see how these false teachers denied the Lord. These men simply had too high an opinion of themselves. They spoke evil of the dignitaries. In other versions, they blasphemed the glorious ones. Now, these are difficult verses. These false teachers believed they had the power and the authority in themselves to stand up against demons. Jude says they speak evil or they blaspheme, but they are not in a position to say what they said. They did not have the authority. And Jude gives us this strange example of Michael, the archangel, contending with the devil over the body of Moses. This is a reference not from the Old Testament, but from a book called The Assumption of Moses. And so Jude is quoting this to support his point in the same way that you have to listen to me and my long quotes to support my points. Well, Jude is using this illustration to make his point. And Jude's quote about Michael, who is one of the most powerful of angels, an archangel, one with authority over other angels. And yet he doesn't use that power and authority against the devil, who is clearly evil. Instead, he leaves it to God. He says, "The Lord rebuke you." He trusts in Jesus Christ to pass judgment. The false teachers should not have claimed to have authority that belongs to only Jesus Christ. This power play isn't simply seen against the evil spirits, but can be seen in general, even in the church. That's why Paul writes in Romans 12, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." And so the church does not condemn individuals. Now, sadly, there are times for discipline, even excommunication. But excommunication is not condemnation. Otherwise, we are all condemned. We are all sinners. Instead, it's to help those under discipline to realize the seriousness of their sin. They cannot enjoy the privileges and the blessings of the church. And it's leaving those individuals to the mercy of God. And so Jude gives this example, this extreme example, to help his readers see that these false teachers are out of line. The false teachers, Jude says in verse 10, are speaking evil of what they do not know. They are speaking in ignorance. This heavy-handed approach that they were using was wrong. And sadly, we still see that approach today in some churches, and especially in cults. They are quick to condemn. They remove people so that there will be no more contact with them ever again. And likewise, you do not have that authority. So be careful in your relationships. You're not to take vengeance. For if you do, you are denying the Lord. Well, fourthly, let's consider, you're not to become arrogant and reject the authority of God. Verse 6 and verse 8. Jude then reminds his readers of another example from the Old Testament, the example of the angels. Jude says they did not keep their proper domain, meaning they did not stay within their position of authority. They left their own abode, and instead they sought the position of God. Now, we can't, again, be exactly sure of the situation. Most likely, Jude is referring to the rebellion in heaven, where one particular angel, Lucifer, suffered pride and sought the position of God. As a result, he was cast out of heaven and was kept for judgment. Revelation 12, we read of this. And a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. And so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Jude reminds his readers that there are eternal consequences. We read that they are kept in chains till the judgment day. In the same way, out of pride, these false teachers rejected authority. They did not respect the appointed leaders in the church. They saw themselves as super spiritual, and so they did not respect God's word. Instead, they interpreted God's word to their own end. And this rejection is obvious today. You hear people say, well, a God of love, he won't send people to hell. He won't judge anyone. He will forgive everyone. Or, I can't believe God would send a devout Muslim into hell. After all, they are so sincere in their religious commitment. But this is not abiding in the truth. These men are setting themselves against and above the truth. And there is a crisis in the church today. It's not because the church is losing its young people. It's not because churches are struggling financially. It's not even the potential onslaught of the government. No, it's a rejection of the authority of God, evident in the downplay of the teaching of the Bible. Churches are not serious about God's word, and this only leads to a downward spiral where people then lose their appetite for God's word. And if they reject the rule of God, they reject the ruler, and that is the lordship of Jesus Christ in their life. And the fallen angels can't stand against Christ. And if the fallen angels can't stand against Christ, there is no chance that mere humans can stand before him. Instead, they will be judged. They will be kept in chains until the judgment day for defying God. So this is a warning from Jude. But it's also a reminder that although the angels are kept in chains, we have no mercy, because we have been rescued as believers. We have been rescued from our chains to sin by Christ's work on the cross. So as a result, don't reject the authority of God. Benton, in his commentary, says, God's law stands. It stands above the world, above time, and above all earthly cultures. It even applies to the angelic beings. Why? Because God's law is the expression of the holy character of the Lord, which is eternal and does not change. If God judged the angels who ignored his command, do not be so foolish as to think that morality is relative and changeable. Do not be taken in by such teaching, no matter from what source you hear it. Well, then fifthly and finally, you're not to live a life of immorality by defiling the flesh. Verses 7 and 8. The next example that Jude offers is that of Sodom and Gomorrah. This was a city that was indulging in sexual immorality. And so because of its sin, it faced judgment. And because Jude speaks of them having gone after strange flesh, it's assumed Jude is speaking of the sin of homosexuality. It is wrong to legitimize such practices. In the same way, we should not legitimize any sinful practice. And yet, in our world today, we see evil being celebrated as good, and good being celebrated as evil. These false teachers were committing immorality. They were defiling the flesh. And they were saying, it's okay. And verse 10 speaks of what they know naturally. In other words, they go by their natural instincts. They have no self-control. They're like animals acting on their impulse. We couldn't get anything more contemporary. The church today does not want to call out the sin of homosexuality and many other sins. Instead, the church teaches that you're born this way, so it must be natural, or who are we to judge on what love is? We don't get to make the rules. Instead, we are to abide by the rules that God gives us. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, and you have this in your second handout, 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God's word is clear. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. But those verses also contain hope. For although we should all be destined to the judgment, the vengeance of eternal fire, we read that there is justification in Christ. In Christ you're justified. He took our sin on himself. And so he took that judgment. And instead he gave us his righteousness. It's just as if you never sinned and always lived righteously. Now sometimes when we hear this, we treat it like Christ has simply taken a bullet for us. And so we are free now to live life the way we want to. That's how the false teachers were interpreting this. But that's not Christianity. Christ teaches that you have been crucified with him. You have died to your old sinful nature. And so you are to walk in the newness of life. You cannot live in sin any longer. This is the mercy of God you need to remember and walk in his ways. Christianity is not, as these false teachers taught, a license to sin. Instead, your Christian faith is about overcoming sin. It's not about legitimizing sin. And if you won't repent, and if you continue in immorality like these false teachers, well, you reveal yourself to be an apostate, to not be a Christian, and so deserving of judgment. John Calvin tells us that after having been called by God, we ought not to glory carelessly in his grace, but on the contrary, to walk watchfully in his fear. For if any trifles thus with God, the contempt of his grace will not be unpunished. So Jude is warning us in this passage to guard yourself against these false teachers with their false teaching. He doesn't want you to succumb to their teaching. And so likewise, face judgment. So do not ignore God's word. Consider how you should have known God's word better than to reject God's rule and so face judgment. But instead, remember God's mercy and walk in his way. On the 28th of January, 1986, some of you might remember what happened on that day. The Space Shuttle Challenger exploded 73 seconds into its flight. All seven crew members died. 17% of the American population watched the event live on TV. But what makes this event, this disaster. Even more tragic was that it easily could have been avoided. A number of engineers the day before the launch tried to stop it from happening. They recognized that the rubber seals on the shutters booster rockets, they wouldn't seal properly in cold temperatures. And this would be the coldest launch ever. And yet their warnings went unheeded. They would not delay the launch. One of these engineers suffered deep depression afterwards. He's never been able to lift the burden of guilt. He said, I could have done more. I should have done more. But the data that he and his fellow engineers presented, they're persistent. They're sometimes angry arguments. It wasn't enough to sway NASA's officials. And he concluded that he was inadequate. His warnings were not heeded. Jude's warnings must be taken seriously. Consider how you should know God's word better, so not to reject God's rule and face judgment, but instead remember God's mercy and walk in God's way. Amen. Let's come to God in prayer, ask for his help. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We pray that you would forgive us, for often we have neglected your word. And we see here from this letter from Jude the results of such neglect, of unbelief, of seeking vengeance, of rejecting your authority, of sexual immorality. We thank you for this reminder from Jude of the consequences of such unbelief is judgment. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to contend earnestly for the gospel, that we would remember your great mercy. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to live our lives walking in your way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our service singing from Psalm 78a. Psalm 78a, this psalm reminds us of the blessing of being taught God's word by a previous generation and then teaching God's word to the next generation. And notice the outcome is stanza 3, that children yet unborn might know and their descendants lead to trust in God, recall God's works and his commandments heed. Let us remember God's word so we can walk faithfully in God's way. Let's stand and sing Psalm 78a.